Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it sounds like we knew that hymn pretty well. I'm always nervous with a new hymn. But we got it, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, which talks about something that here was the case, but now this is the case. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. But I think we could add another piece to that even more broadly. I once was dead, but now I am Reese, All-American acolyte. Alive, yes. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I am alive. Yes. So we are made alive together in Christ. And the text for this morning's sermon comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, which I don't think actually comes up in our lectionary very often except for this Sunday. It is a text that is important in the church and certainly in the Lutheran church. I think it's the Sedes Doctrinae. You know that, Pastor Luke? What is that, Sedes Doctrinae? Sounds like sedate, fall asleep. No, the seat of doctrine, the basis. So we're justified by faith through grace. It is not something that we have done for ourselves, but we say that God has done this for us, that God is the doer of the saving verbs, and God actually takes us from death to life. So we'll jump right in here, Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And the Hebrew way of talking about living life is walking. So you were dead people walking, or even like zombies, the walking dead. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So you were dead. You were like zombies. The Walking Dead, very popular show, I think, of the last 10 years. It's a graphic novel. Interestingly, we had to have our refrigerator repaired a few years ago, and the guy that came in to repair it had these tattoos of the Walking Dead all over his arms. And I said, hey, is that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1? And it was not. It was not. But that's evangelism right there. So you were dead. You're like zombies. You could never go toward anything good or even go toward life. You're just going toward death. You're following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. And the prince of the power of the air, fittingly, as we're wearing purple today, is not actually talking about the artist formerly known as Prince, or still known as Prince, but now deceased artist from Minneapolis. I said that for you people, and I see you back there. I know you like pop music references. But maybe you would think about it like in this way, that we're dead people walking, partying like it's 1999, going toward death. But he said, no, that's not the case, because the prince of the power of the air is Satan. And that unless we are claimed by God the Father, we do have a God. It's a binary, a Father. It's a binary choice. If God the Father is not your Father, Satan is your Father. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, and then Paul lumps everyone in there, including himself, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, that we were born this way. And it is not a Lady Gaga triumphal song, I'm born this way. Did you like that one, Lady Gaga? It is that we're born and we're just going toward death. And that's where Paul lays it out. We have a dead condition that's caused by sin. The wages of sin is death. What we have wrought for ourselves, what we have done for ourselves, we've inherited this sin, is death. And then Paul makes a very sharp and distinct gospel turn here at verse 4. This simple word of gospel, this conjunction, but God, a 180-degree turn. God is the doer of the saving verbs. What kind of God is he? Well, he is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. You heard Pastor Luke read it a few minutes ago. The gospel in a nutshell, probably one of the best known, if not the best known passage in the New Testament. For God did what? So loved the world. That he did what? He gave his son. Yeah. His only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, be dead people walking, but live, because he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. God wants his people to love because of the great love with which he loved us. And it's a very specific kind of love. God so loved the world, and sometimes maybe we think about it as so big, so much. And you can think of it that way, but I think even a more helpful way of looking at it is as we see the cross up here. God loved the world. He so loved the world. He loved the world in this way, a very specific way, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He loved the world that he created so much, that is ruined by sin, that he came and is going to reverse the curse. Undo the curse by coming into his creation, true God and true man. The proof of God's love for us is in Jesus. That even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. He is the doer of the saving verbs. He is the God of the living, not the dead. He made us alive together with Christ. Not alone, but together with Christ. And then we hear it for the first time. We'll hear it again in 2 verse 8. By grace, you have been saved. If you have to earn it, it's a paycheck. You work hard for the money. But in this case, it's a gift. You don't work for it to earn a gift. It's simply a gift. You receive that. By grace you have been saved. And so he made us alive together with Christ, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think that preposition at the end, in Christ Jesus, very important. It's powerful. Where is it? It's found centered in Christ Jesus. So he takes us from death to life. We're baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. It's not a direct reference to baptism, but I think indirectly a reference to baptism, that he takes us from death to life, that we're baptized into Jesus, into Good Friday, his death, into Easter Sunday, his resurrection. And now, present tense, we are seated with him in the heavenly places. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us. And he says it again, in Christ Jesus. If you're looking for God, the proof of God's love for you and me, it is in Christ Jesus. The evidence of this, and probably between me and Pastor Luke, we say it week in and week out. There are a lot of good things, and there are blessings for which we should be thankful in the world. But the proof of God's love for us is not in whether or not our team wins in the Big Ten tournament. Because Purdue lost to Ohio State. Randy Hall reminded me of it this morning, right? Ohio State living on a prayer right now. The proof of God's love for it. Did it lose to Michigan? Michigan lost to Ohio State yesterday. See, I mean, I'm just going down and just toppling all the idols. But then we know, because if the proof of God's love for us is in how our men's basketball team does, I mean, we know that it's tough being a Purdue fan, a Michigan fan. Indiana, Lord have mercy. God really doesn't love the Hoosiers. If the proof is if your team wins or loses, and go down the line. If the proof is in whether or not legislation is passed in your favor or against you, if the proof is in your bank account or whether or not you're counting on this next stimulus check or whatever it's called is going to get you through, whatever the thing is, the proof of God's love for you, the sure and certain hope is in Christ Jesus. When in doubt, know that you are baptized into Christ Jesus, that your sin and mine is plunged into Christ Jesus to die. In fact, death itself is destroyed in Christ Jesus, and life ultimately comes, but it's in Christ Jesus. And so this is who you were dead, but now you and I are, present tense, in Christ Jesus. And so then Paul says, you know these words. Well, let's read them together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Let's go to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 2 verse 10, Mrs. Johnson's favorite verse. What, is it your favorite or one of your favorites? One of your favorites. And we're still, so Pastor Luke mentioned, Mrs. Johnson, retiring from director of parish music. I'll believe it when I see it. You have not successfully retired yet, Mrs. Johnson. And we're thankful. We're blessed for that. But now you're going to, we'll see it again. So, Ephesians 2, verse 8, the seed of doctrine. This is true for Christians because it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. Grace is a gift. If you have to work for it, it's a paycheck. But this is a gift, and it is saved through faith. And I think it's true that every place we see faith here, we can replace that with Jesus Christ, with Jesus. We could replace it with the word Jesus. For by grace we have been saved through Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection. Another way of talking or thinking about faith is simply saying honesty about dependence. That we are dependent completely on God. Now, I think we at times, I know for me at least, I say, well, I'm 100% dependent on God. But if I look at my life, most of the time I don't live it like I trust that. And then there's the suffering that comes and says, you know, actually, I can't do this myself. That God wants us, it is a blessing for us when we acknowledge that, yeah, we're 100% dependent on you, God. Because then that makes us free to not to try to be God, but then to be his children and live and roam about, go about his kingdom, the reign of heaven, as free children of God. And so this is not our own doing. It is the gift of God. It is a present tense reality. You have been saved. You and I not only have been saved, but we are in a condition of being saved right now. The goal of the Christian life is not simply or only to die and go to heaven someday, but what we are living eternal life now. We're baptized into Christ. And so there is a present tense blessing. And that's a cool thing. That it is not only about, well, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, and then it's just going to be me and Jesus, and everything's going to be cool. And if this is one of your, I know I've said this before, the goal is not to be offensive, but maybe to think about this. In the garden, which says he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I mean, that's a nice thing, but it's not just, eternal life is not just you and Jesus, or me and Jesus, holding hands, walking down the sidewalk. But we're actually all together in the reign of heaven, made alive together in Christ. And so this is not a result of works that neither you nor I could own this so that no one may boast. And last week, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, not in themselves. Is that true, Andrea, that I shouldn't trumpet my own things? I'm a really good Nintendo player, though. I let everybody know, right? Yeah, I'm the most humble player around. That's what you love about me. No, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And then, so the result of this is that we are present tense. See, this is what you were. You were dead, but you are in Christ Jesus. You are alive. We are his workmanship. God has given us an identity, a rock solid identity. And that identity is we are human beings. That means we're body and soul knit together. So use your bodies that God has given you in his kingdom. Use them. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There it is again, in Christ Jesus for something, for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the center of all of this is Jesus. So this text in and of itself, I think, encapsulates the Christian life. If you just had to pick 10 verses and you said, this is who I am, this is who we are. We were dead. And we once walked like zombies, following the prince of this world, but, that great gospel turn, but we are in Christ Jesus. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. God shows his love for us in this specific way, in Christ Jesus, that he loved us. So right in the center of this text is Jesus Christ, is the gospel. You and I are baptized into Jesus. And so because of that, we were dead, but now we are alive. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I am alive. Because Jesus Christ has rescued me. I just came up with that. I feel like that really could be, I'm going to add that, another verse. Because I'm the greatest songwriter I know. Very humble about it. Andrea, you're shaking your head. You don't, it's not, I'll get to talk after church about this. That's, I appreciate that. Gift to me. So there, really simple, I hope. We were dead. We were dead people walking. We are present tense in Christ Jesus right now. And it's great now, but the best is yet to come because we are alive. We are alive now in Christ Jesus. And so then this is our confession of faith. And I think there's a for me, at least, an interesting or cool way of looking at this. So maybe the question is, where is your fill in the blank, or where do you find your fill in the blank? So something like this, where is your forgiveness? Because you confess, and we confess this morning, that we're poor, miserable sinners. Where is your forgiveness? It's in Christ Jesus. Where is your hope when it seems like all hope is lost, when everything is going crazy in the world around you and maybe even in the world inside of you? Where is your hope? Well, it's in Christ Jesus. Where is your peace when you're just racked with anxiety? It's in Christ Jesus. Where is your life, even in the face of death? Because remember, from dust you have come, and to dust you shall return. How can you confess that you have life? Well, because my life and yours is in Christ Jesus. Oh, I was supposed to put that together. It's in Christ Jesus. How do you know that in the end, death will be swallowed up in victory? Because the promise is found in Christ Jesus. He's the first fruits. He is risen, and I will be raised too, and so will you. Where is the foundation of your life? A world where change and decay and all around we see, where is our help and hope and foundation? It's in Christ Jesus. Where's your Savior? Well, he died on the cross, but he didn't stay there. They put him in a tomb, but on the third day he's risen. That's where my hope, that's where my Savior is found. Where's your faithful friend when other friends turn their back on you? It's in Christ Jesus. Where's your strength? That when you are completely weak, how could you say that you have strength? Well, because my strength is not in myself. It's in Christ Jesus. Where's the proof of God's grace, a gift that he gives of life to people who don't deserve it? In Christ Jesus. How do you have the courage to forgive other, the courage or the ability to forgive people who would otherwise seem unforgivable? How can you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it's in Christ Jesus, not in myself. How can we stand firm? When sometimes the temptation is to say, boy, the world looks pretty scary. I just want to run and hide. I want to head for the hills. Or maybe you say, the world is so messed up, rather than running away, I'm going to charge headlong into the fray and just go crazy, even if I'm by myself. This is the time. How do you have the courage to simply stand firm and trust that it's going to be okay? It is okay. Well, it's because of Jesus. Because we stand firm in Christ Jesus. We have the whole armor of Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. He is already ahead of us. We already know how this ends. He is behind us, protecting us in all places. So our hope, it's really simple. Where do you think it is, All-American acolyte? In Jesus. Amen, sister. That's right. So, everything here, the church, is centered in Christ Jesus for you and me. To him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds, guess what? In Christ Jesus. Amen.